That's good that we have so many testimonies. Amen? Now, next Sunday is Mother's Day. And so this is a perfect day to invite your mother to service. And after that, take her to lunch or dinner, whatever you want to do. We have a special guest speaker coming next Sunday. His name is Tom Stemmen. And he's going to pray for people individually. Okay? What's going to happen is, have any of you ever had a prophecy? Any of you ever had a prophecy? What is a prophecy? It's an intuition that God gives certain people from the Spirit of God, and they pray for people, and God kind of reveals things. He reveals a lot of times the future. Do you know that David, before he became king, a prophet spoke what's going to happen? And Bible says God doesn't do anything in your life unless he reveals it through his prophets. Now, prophecy is not for you to, whatever prophet says, that's what I'm going to do. No. Prophecy is just a symbol. It's a proof to you that it's a confirmation of when it happens. You'll know that God told you it's going to happen, proving to you that God is real. See, many people want to hear a prophecy so they, God is going to do something in my life. No. God is just going to tell you what's going to happen. Now, you're going to have to do it. But when you do it and it's done, guess what? You'll be like, whoa, God did say it to me 5 years ago, and it actually happened. Amen? So that's what prophecy is all about. Now, if you want to try this prophetic stuff, this is what you do. You pray and you meditate and you see, God, where you have me in 10 years. Like right now, Tanya and I were planning our second 10-year, piece in our life. We had a meeting, me and her. We sat down and we said, so, okay, first half, 10 years of our life was this. Now, what do we want next 10 years to be? We're planning for it. And I said, Tanya, you need to go and meditate and dream about it and see what God is going to say. And I'm going to, and we were talking, comparing notes and saying, okay, I want this to happen, I want this to happen, and I want this to happen. Now, if you want things to happen, you have to speak them out. You speak them till you're sick of them. Then you stop. Nothing happens. And then when you think nothing is ever going to happen, it happens. That's how God works. He says, write the vision, make it plain, and then forget about it for a while. Just do your part, and it will come to pass for sure. Amen? So Tom is going to be here, and you're going to learn a lot from this guy. He's going to pray for each and every one of you guys. Okay? So it's going to be amazing. Anyway, today we're starting a new series called Demons and Jesus, or Demonology 3D. You guys ready for this? I want to disappoint you a little bit ahead, because I don't want your expectations to be really big today. Because this is what's happening, okay? I was preparing for the message on demons, and Holy Spirit said, don't go too fast into demons. Do a message before demons, okay? So we are not going to get into demons a lot today, okay? But we will in 2 weeks. Amen? So today's scripture, you probably know what it is because we're following verse after verse. Mark chapter 1, verse 21 through 28. Mark chapter 1. And this is where Jesus, just beginning his ministry, and what he encounters in the beginning of his ministry was a demon-possessed man. Okay, and let's read. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on a Sabbath, he entered a synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as scribes. Okay? Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? Now there's a man in a church. Synagogue is the equivalent of our church. Jesus is preaching. Everybody's going, whoa. Obviously not boring. Bible says he was preaching not like Pharisees or scribes or theologians of that day, or teachers of that day. And demon-possessed man came to the point where he couldn't hold it anymore. And demons started speaking. And listen to the words that he says to Jesus. Now notice, devil will speak to you audibly through other people, and he will speak to you in your mind. Demons, I was in Florida 2 years ago, and I was searching through that radio station. And there was a radio station, and on it, a lady was talking. It was a secular station, and she was talking about how she has seven personalities live inside of her. And they fight with her. And she has to live in peace with them. And she said, I learned how to live with them. And I don't like to go on pills, because, you know, pills, there's a certain, you know, medication that will help you and numb you. And she said, I don't like that, so I had to learn to live. Otherwise, they use my hands to scratch me, and I would wake up with marks on my body. And she said, there's seven things living in her. Now, so demon possession is real, even today. Now, we call it psycho, whatever, you know, sclerosis or whatever. We can call it, and now, there is people who have damaged brains, right? We believe that. It's a medical condition. But not everybody has a medical condition. A lot of people are possessed by demons, and this is serious stuff. And so what she said was, she said these things speak to her, and she had to learn to live in peace with them. What? Imagine there's seven of you inside. And now you have, how do you live in peace with that? There is no peace. And she was talking about, hold on. And she was talking about how they argue with one another, and she hears them. They fight one another. There's and some of them are stronger. Oh, and she said there is a leader in them. I'm not trying to freak you out, but I am a little, because this is real. Okay? If you go to 99% of churches in America, they'll never preach on this. And some of you, who chose this topic? Well, I did, and Holy Spirit did. It's next on our list. I can't skip the Bible. I can't just read to you the verses you want to hear or I want to hear. I got to preach the whole thing, because the truth will set you free. And so when I was listening to this, it was about noon when we were driving, and I was listening to this. I was freaking out. I mean, she was telling some horrible things. So demons are real, and Jesus is encountering one here in this scripture. And this is in the beginning of his ministry. Now, we're going to talk today what preceded. Why did they act out? Why was this man who was demon-possessed? Ooh, something's happening right now. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. I call on your spirit, and it's in this place now. I come against and over every demonic authority, every demonic spirit that has entered into this building. In the name of Jesus, I command it now to go. I command it to shut up. I bind your movement. There's no movement for you here in the atmosphere. In the name of Jesus. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus upon the minds and hearts of our people. Father, I pray protection over every mind, every body, in the name of Jesus. Satan, you will not disrupt this service, because the Spirit of God is here. Now, angels of the Lord, on every corner of this place, draw your swords, spiritually speaking. May no demonic power have its way in this place. Only Jesus and the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, pure Spirit, life-giving Spirit in this place now. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for your protection. Amen. Let me tell you what happened. As I started talking to you, I started being weak inside of my spirit. Some of you started feeling like you wanted to puke. This is normal when we talk about demon spirits. Satan, see, he's okay with people being bound. Now, As I was preparing for this message, I was in my, not office, but before my office, lounge. And I was praying. And I said, God, should I preach about this? Should I open this subject? Because it could get nasty. I mean, it could get ugly. Whenever you start preaching about demons, demons will start doing things. Okay? And I said, Lord, do we really want to go there as a church? And what Holy Spirit said to me, he said, so what? You want your comfort more than people's deliverance? He said, there's people in the church, just like there was people in that place where Jesus entered synagogue. There's people who were possessed. They were suffering. Demonic possession does not bring a person happiness or peace. Demonic oppression. Now there's two types. There's possession and there's oppression. Possession, when the demon comes inside and controls your mind and makes you do things. Oppression is when you get depressed a lot. You're always in the gloom and you're always in darkness. You don't know what's going on. You're always suicidal almost. You feel like life lost its purpose. That's demonic spirits. Okay? And God said to me, he said, so you rather you would sacrifice your comfort for deliverance of people. And I said, I can't do that. Then I wouldn't be true to myself, to you guys, and I wouldn't be the pastor who preaches the whole thing. It's like you go into the doctor and he says, this surgery is too messy. I don't like this. So we're just going to say it doesn't exist. This problem doesn't exist. And that's kind of a doctor. That doctor should be fired. Shouldn't practice medicine. If you're afraid of messiness and blood, you have no business being a surgeon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus comes in into the synagogue and starts preaching on the Sabbath, which is equivalent to Sunday. Okay? And this is, let me read this again. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Now it wasn't like, he cried out. Okay? I just want you to feel it. Because some of you think church is like, see, when Jesus taught, when Pharisees taught, everybody was quiet. Demons were quiet. But as soon as Jesus shows up, one time, people are shouting. So is demons. Okay? And so, there was a man in their synagogue. Now, notice it was a member. It was a church member. With an unclean spirit, and no one knew. This man was tormented at night. This man was not having a peaceful life. Have you ever made decision? Have you ever made decision and you were double-minded about it? What happens? You have no peace. But as soon as you make a decision, even if it's a wrong one, you have peace. No, hold on. Because you don't know it's the wrong one. You still have peace. Why? Because double-mindedness is some two minds fighting inside of you. You can't have peace. That's why I say make a decision, man. Make a decision, young lady. If it's wrong, you'll know it's wrong and then you can change it. But you got to make a decision. Now you'll learn from your experience and on, obviously. But double-mindedness brings no peace, no calmness. That's why it's important to have one mind. It doesn't work one time like this, one time, it's one way. And so, and he cried out, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Now, remember, these demons are sitting in church too, with this man, right? And he's saying, what have we to do with you? This is our territory now. What have we to do? What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Now notice, and through the Gospels, like 23 encounters we see through Mark, I think, or Luke, Jesus encounters opposition, and it's from demons. There's two forces, there's two powers, and you know this, there's good and evil. You know where Jesus stands? and you know where demons stand. And they said, why'd you come here? This is our place, and this is audible. This is not in Jesus' mind. This man is not, you know, channeling his thoughts to Jesus. Everybody hears this. And listen to this. Did you come here to destroy us? They know what Jesus is going to do to them. Oh. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Notice what demons say about Jesus. Now, we shouldn't trust what demons say anyway. Right? But listen to what they say. They didn't say you're a liar. You're whatever. We know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. Now, Jesus didn't say, could you please be quiet? Or our ushers will push, you know, take you outside and call the cops on you. No, he rebuked him. He said, be quiet and come out of him. And it got messier. It got messier. And when an unclean spirit had convulsed him, you've seen that probably on TV, when the body is being controlled by something else other than a person wouldn't do that, and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What is going on? What new doctrine is this? For with authority, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately, his fame spread through all the regions of Galilee up to this point. Interesting, huh? Two words that come up is authority. First, they said that he preaches with authority. And that's my topic today. God gives authority to Jesus. Okay? So, on the Sabbath, he enters the synagogue. Jesus was a regular attender of synagogue, right? Equivalent to our Sunday service. So he enters into synagogue and starts preaching. What does it mean when it says that Jesus preached with authority? Now, the interesting thing is, we have a president right now, Barack Obama, right? And also we have people who copy Barack Obama, right? Who could speak exactly like him. Who can act like him. I know Andre is pretty good with that. Andre can copy Bill Clinton. He can copy Bush. And he could copy Barack Obama, right? Now, the interesting thing is that if Andre came over here and said, I'm Barack Obama, I'm the president, and he would speak like him, and he would sound like him, even if Andre looked like him, and so Andre speaks exactly like him, what would we do? And you just did it. You would laugh at him. But if Andre would insist and says, I got authority, and he would start talking about political issues, and he would start persuading you that you need to believe him, he's the Barack Obama, the president, what would you do? You would get annoyed with him, and you'd say, get out of here, man. Now, why? Because he doesn't have the authority. Now, let me give you another little example. Before inauguration, Barack Obama was elected to be our president. But he didn't have any authority. Although he was already elected by the people, he had no authority. But on February 20th, is that what it is? Or January 20th? January 20th, when he was inaugurated, when Rick Warren prayed for him, when a judge or Supreme Court justice had him swear an oath, guess what? 1 minute he had no authority, and the next minute he had lots of authority. Right? And so when Barack speaks now, our president, Doesn't matter what political party you're in, Republican or Democrat or independent, guess what? There's something that makes you have goosebumps, right? Why? Because he's a president. He has what? Authority given to him by people, but ultimately given to him by God. Okay? So I just want you to understand the authority. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. But then he says, I'm giving you a little bit of that authority. What makes a person be influential, what makes a person be have ability to achieve things in life is the authority that comes with your calling. Okay? And Bible says about Jesus that they were astonished that he was preaching with authority. Now, whenever, notice, there was other preachers there in that church, and the demon-possessed man never even thought about yelling. He was sleeping just like everybody else. But as soon as a man with authority came, you cannot sit and sleep in the presence of a man with authority or a woman with authority. Amen? And so Jesus began to preach to them with authority. Now, how were the other guys preaching? Have you ever wondered? Bible says he was preaching with authority, not like the scribes, meaning they were not even close. Listen to me, they were not even close. When Jesus spoke, it wasn't boring. If you ask a regular person who's far from God, who doesn't go, you know, to church, not a religious person, you know, everybody's spiritual these days. You know, if somebody says, I'm not spiritual, I'm religious, tell him, ask him, what spirits do you follow? Okay? Okay, just ask him that. Because you want to know, because there's demon spirits there too, right? Everybody's spiritual, but what spirits? And so, where am I going with this? Hold on. Yeah, so Bible says he was preaching not like them. Meaning, they were preaching there, they were talking a lot. They were talking about genealogy, who gave birth to who. They were talking about controversial parts of the law. They were discussing theoretical laws. They were discussing, I don't know, political whatever. Political people would come and talk to their church. And so the church got to the point where there was no power in the church. People were sleeping in the church because there was no authority. And Jesus comes in, and this man starts convulsing. This man starts acting out, and Jesus casts out this demon. Do you know that everybody is called to preach, but not everybody is called to be a public speaker? Just because you are a lawyer doesn't mean you're going to be a great preacher. Just because you're a politician and you have a lot of money or a businessman doesn't mean you're going to be a great preacher. Remember, usually people who have money get the stage, right? And so what would happen is, in that church, people who were influential, who had money, they would be speaking. Now, they were anointed to do business. They were anointed to be lawyers. They were anointed to be theologians, but they were not anointed to be preachers. See, not everybody is a public speaker. Now, everybody should speak. I mean, everybody speaks here, right? Speak to somebody. And so what happened in that church is people who are anointed didn't have opportunity. People who are rich, people who had money, they would be, you know, speaking and preaching. And guess what? Church lost all power where demons started sitting in the church. And it wouldn't bother them. I mean, if you preach about Jesus, demons should start walking out of the church quietly. If they can't leave, if you're blocking their way, something else should be happening. I've seen people sweat in our services and run out. I've seen a lady, as we were preaching, she was sitting over there in the corner on the left, you know, on the left row. I see her got up, jumped off her seat, started doing this, fell on the ground, ran out. Next Sunday, she comes over to me and says, shows me her marks on her arms. There was blood, you know, blood spots, bruises. And she says, look what you did to me. She says that to me, look what you did to me. And she's showing me. And I said, I was here on the stage. You were there. I saw what happened, yeah. And she said, I'll be back. I'll be back. I'll be back. She's never been here. See, there was something in her that resisted. I had a man who was kind of a witch doctor and said that he was going to kill me with his witchcraft. And actually, that's what I did, Tony. I laughed at him. I laughed at him. And he said that he, and I don't know if this is true or not, but he said he killed two people with his witchcraft. And he said he was going to do that to me. Actually, he came to our city, guys, to practice witchcraft. He was here to practice witchcraft. He stayed here a little bit. And what I did was, he didn't tell me that directly that he was going to kill me. He told one of the members that were coming here, Arthur. How many of you know Arthur? Arthur used to sit right there in the front. And so, he's not here no more. He's still good. Arthur, yeah. And so what happened was, he told me that he was threatening me through Arthur. And Arthur was just a new believer. And I knew where he worked. He worked in the mall, this guy. And guess what I did? I was stupid, naive, young preacher. And so what I did was, guys, I know. My wife leaves out of town to Minneapolis. This is evening. I work the whole day. I go to the mall, and I go on a purpose to see him. See, because Bible says that we have been given authority. And this is what we're going to talk about in this series. So I go to him in the mall, and I said, hey, I heard you were talking about me. And guess what he says? I'm a believer. I'm an Eastern Orthodox, a mystic. I said, what church you go to? And he's like, there's no church like that here. I came here actually to start something like that. I'm like, okay, if you're a Christian and you're going to kill me, you know, something's wrong with that. So I said, okay, if you're a Christian, then we have no problems. You're my brother. But if you're not, and I'm putting my hand out, and I shake his hand, go ahead, and I hold it. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I arrest you into the kingdom of God. And I start speaking into his life. Man, this guy's sweating. I mean, it's just coming, pouring down at him. And I said all these things. I've never said this before. I can't repeat it again. And I said all these things, and he's pulling out, and I'm holding. Now I'm holding him. And finally, I let go and I leave. And when I left, oh my goodness, I'm driving home and it's dark already. And I'm freaking out. I'm like, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? What have I done? Maybe this guy, you know how devil is. He's going to mess with you. He's going to attack you. He wants you to back down. But notice the one who is in you is greater. A few months later, I hear this guy leaves town. I'm still alive. 6 years later, I'm still alive. I'm doing great. My family is doing great. He said he's going to destroy my family. Didn't work. So when the devil speaks into your life, you laugh at them. And you confront him and says, no, you won't. Don't be just be like, when Satan comes to you, and he usually do it through a person and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get you into a car accident. I'm going to do this. You'll never be happy. When somebody says that, you stand up. You don't just leave. You don't back down. You don't be like, oh. Say, you're a liar. That's not going to happen to me. I'm blessed. I'm anointed. You can't do that. you won't do that. Because he who is in me is greater than he. And Bible says, whoever touches you, touches God's, like, apple of the eye. And if somebody touches your eye, you're going to slap him. And God is going to slap somebody who come. Bible says, blessed are those who bless you. Hold on. Blessed are those who bless you. And what? Cursed are those who curse you. By cursing me, that guy brought curse upon himself. He's not going to have a happy life. He left. He disappeared. I don't know where he is at. In 6 years, I've not seen him. I haven't heard one threat from him. Now, this is not happening in church, people. This is happening in my life and outside of the church. One time I remember, and a few years ago, Andre was there. He can tell you the truth, that I'm telling the truth. I am taking a break at work, and we hired a guy for day labor, you know, for one day. And he's working, and he's not happy. He has such bad attitude. I mean, this guy, and he's talking to other employees. You know how one bad worker spreads, you know, one bad apple, you know, messes up the whole thing. He's talking to other employees, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm sitting on a bench, just taking a break. This guy comes to me and starts speaking to me in other language, in tongues, almost like not a language. You were there. You were standing to the left of me, right? And we were looking at him, and he starts pointing at me and starts, what I perceived was curses, but it wasn't in the language that I think he knew. I think this man was demon-possessed, okay? And what happened was start cursing me. So what do I do, Andre? Andre could tell you this. I point at him, and I start speaking in tongues back to him. And I start speaking with authority. Because first I was freaked out. My hair started standing up when he started doing that. He was standing right. This is where I'm sitting. He's right here, and he's pointing at me. I sit there, and I point at him, and I start speaking in tongues to him. Then I get up, and this man starts pulling his hair, starts pointing his fingers to his head, and starts saying, "No, no, no." And what happened? And just takes off. Yeah, he was blocking himself. He was. Later I found out that he was on medication. He said, "I didn't have my medication." That's his excuse. We all know what was happening. See, this you will encounter, and if you are walking in a place of your authority, you will encounter demonic opposition. You can have a business and you'll encounter demonic opposition. You can work for somebody else. You can go to school. Now, maybe it won't be visible like I'm telling you, because these are rare cases. It happens very rarely. But it does happen. It can happen in your, somebody could come into your house and bring something. And see, demons are designed to destroy. They're never working for you. They want to destroy. Come to your house and destroy your marriage. They want to come and destroy your health. They want to come and destroy your mind and mess with your mind. That's what they're there for. And Bible says you have to come against them with authority. Do you know your authority? This is the message today. Because Jesus didn't just preach, "God loves you." Everybody was saying that. There was no authority. But when he began to preach, everybody listened. Demons listened. And they couldn't hide anymore in people. So they started acting out. And that was an opportunity for Jesus to cast them out. Now, was Jesus looking for demon-possessed people? Are you demon-possessed? Are you demon-possessed? Are you demon-possessed? Are you? No! You don't go searching or you don't go looking for them. They come and find you. But this is what happens. If you ever see that happening, what are you going to do? No, you don't need to freak out, somebody said. As a Christian, and thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. That's what we all want to do at first. I was praying, me and Paul, another Paul, went to pray for this drunk guy. He said he couldn't sleep for like 4 days. His face was gray almost. He had gray hair, plus he was like 50 years old. We went to pray for him, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to tell you my victories. I'm going to tell you also my failures. I'm sitting in front of him. We're talking, and we're saying, "Okay, we're going to pray for you. We're going to do this and this." And suddenly, his face begins to change. Have you ever seen a person like weird. And so I said, and I freak out. And this is what I do. This is what we'll do, brother. We'll pray for you at church, and you can come to the service, and then we'll lay hands on you when we're all together, and I'm not afraid. I didn't say that, but I was. Man, I started feeling tingling on my head. That's how strong fear was in me. This is just first year of my ministry, and I pretty much run out of that house. I get so mad, I'm driving home. This man messed me up, and he didn't do nothing. He was sitting across from me, and he'd give me looks. I mean, it was a demon. And so I get so mad at myself. I get so mad, you know, because I'm trained for this. I'm practicing for this, you know. And guess what I do? I go back, and I thank God that he was not there anymore, because I could have been in big trouble. You know, I'm the kind of person, if you tell me no, I might back away, but I'm still going to, you know, fight you. And so I went back, and God says, your time ran out. You had an opportunity. That's it. See, the opportunities God brings into our life. Maybe somebody's sick. What are you going to do? You're going to say, well, I hope you get well. We'll announce it in church. We'll pray for you on night prayer. No. Why did that person tell you they were sick? So you can put a hand on their shoulder and say, I want to pray for you, and ask God to heal you. Why does God allow demons to manifest in front of you? Because God says, it brings me pain when my son and my daughter is experiencing oppression by the demon. So he says, would you cast them out? Get it? So when God brings you an opportunity to give, oh yeah, let us raise money and then we'll give. No, you give whatever you can. Whatever God opportunity brings to you, that's what you do. And I'm, to this day, I'm so kind of, I regret that, man, what could have been? This man has been struggling with alcoholism for 30 years. He used to be a youth pastor. This guy could preach. And for 30 years, fell from grace. See, some of you think, okay, I can play with alcoholism. But how do you know you're 30 years later, you won't be in the same condition? If you knew there was a 50% chance, you had if you ate certain food, you could get cancer, would you eat it? No. Right? That's too much. Hallelujah. So Jesus preaches with authority. See, we're not playing Christianity here. I'm not going to be the church that, we're not going to be the church that just tells you everything is okay. We're going to challenge you to grow into your God full potential. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray here soon. And your calling, listen to me, your calling might not be public speaking. But if it is, then God gives you authority for it. And you better use it. You better not be a chicken. A lot of people, they're afraid to tell the truth. Why? Because a big donor will leave and get mad. People might be, you know, uncomfortable a little bit. We didn't come to church to be comfortable. We came to church to be changed. So our life would change. So your calling comes with an anointing. And your anointing gives you authority. Hallelujah. God gives you authority to fulfill your calling. You need to find that calling and authority already up there. Find the calling. Authority comes automatically when you're in the right place. What happened was in Israel, you had a whole bunch of wrong people who didn't even know Jesus. They were all kinds of people who didn't really know Jesus. They were preaching about Jesus or God, and there was no authority. Now, some of you are here, might think, well, I feel a preaching anointing on me. How do I get, you don't get to practice on stage. You can practice in a growth group. You can practice in couples group. You can practice in a youth group. If you're a young person, you can practice in the 20s group. There's many opportunities for you to practice. And I have seen people who were anointed to preach to one or two, you know, to not public preaching, but, you know, local small preaching, were very effective. And as soon as they got up on stage to preach to everybody, people fell asleep. Guys, God gave us authority. And the happiest we'll ever be is in His place. So find out, what did He call you? What is your purpose in life? What is He anointed you to do? Nobody else can do. And do that. And do it for the glory of God. If it's business, then guess what? God is going to show up in your business. And people's lives are going to be changed in your business. If it's education, if it's science, if it's theology, whatever it is. If it's teaching or librarian or whatever God called you to do, construction. Whatever. He can anoint you for it. And He can bring you authority and lives will be changed. Listen, you were not born to live for yourself only. You were born that your life could help other people. And your gift is needed. And Jesus was called to do what? To teach. And God says, because He's walking in His calling, I'm going to place authority over Him. How is it that a man comes, nobody knows him yet, and he begins to speak and everybody knows that he's a king? There's authority over that. And that authority set helps people who are sick, who are demon possessed, who are oppressed, who are poor, it helps people. Next point and last point is, there's always opposition to authority. I'm a rebel by nature, you know that. A lot of you are rebels. We really don't like authority. But guess what? Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. And then He says, go. Now, authority is given for the purpose and benefit of the people. Now, police officer has authority, so not so he doesn't walk like he's a macho man, but what? So he can protect people. See, God gives authority not so you can begin to act like you're somebody, but so you can help other people. If all I do here on Sunday is come and show off how good I preach, and I'm not, you know, my language and everything works against me here. Everything. And if I try to show off how good I am, see, it's not about me of how good I do. It's how many people we can help. How many lives we can change. And a lot of people say, and when I was young, I used to do this. Was I good? Did I do good? Listen, it's not about you. Did you help other people? That's what I want to know. That's what God wants to know. It doesn't matter how good you were. God can use a donkey. Right? To save a life. Right? It's not about you. Quit making everything about you. And when you help other people, God will give you what you need. Because a person who works is worthy of his pay. So when you work, somebody has to pay you, because that's God's rule. Hold on a second. You didn't get this. You got that? Thank you. Hallelujah. Let me repeat that. A lot of times when you forget yourself and serve other people, that's hours that you're clocking in. Now, it's not physical hours, it's spiritual hours. And God owes you money. And somehow, some way, they're going to have to come to you. If you're lazy, if you don't do anything, there's no hours. If you can't find a job, you should volunteer somewhere. Because that's hours you're putting on your spiritual clock. Right? Now, I can prove it to you. Remember Israel? They were in bondage for 400 years. Nobody got paid. But before they left, what did they do? And I used to think God made him lie. I'm like, God, why did you make him lie? Because God said this, why don't you go and borrow things from people of your neighbors who are Egyptians? And ask for gold, silver, valuable clothing, everything. New designs, everything. So they go and take And the Bible says they robbed Egypt. But hold on a second. They worked for 400 years. It was theirs. Hold on. What does it tell us? That God writes your hours. What you do for others, not for yourself. See, whatever you do for yourself, you already paid yourself. If I preach for myself, I already paid myself. God cannot pay me anymore. But if I really serve you, then guess what? Standing here for an hour, I'm getting paid. Not here, but over there. I've had some hours, clocked up hours in heaven. Amen. And if I go longer, it's overtime. So that's why preachers. Okay.